With Jamie Rivers, I'm Anthony Stalter. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. We've been talking throughout the week about the Vladimir Tarasenko trade rumors, the expansion draft. What would Doug Armstrong do when it comes to Vladimir Tarasenko? Would he leave him unprotected or protected? Found out he left him unprotected. Time to get a national perspective, though, from one of the best in the business, former Stanley Cup champion, former NHL coach and player, and now the lead NHL analyst for Turner Sports. He is Ed Olczyk, who joins us right now via the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line. Ed, how you doing today?
I'm fine, Anthony, Jamie. Nice to be with you guys. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, we're good, Eddie. And I feel like we did this just a handful of years ago with Las Vegas, and I thought it would be a little different this time around, but I feel like the chaos is just the same surrounding this expansion draft. Does that surprise you at all?
No, not really. I think because of the success, Jamie, that that Vegas had in their first year, I think adds to the excitement, and you know, there's a lot of pressure here. Now, look, I should give a disclaimer here, the full disclosure. I have some blood in the game in Seattle. My middle brother Ricky is vice president, assistant general manager to the great Ron Francis, who's in charge of the Seattle Kraken on the hockey side, and also my oldest son Eddie is an amateur scout with the Kraken. So not only exciting family-wise, but also, you know, being a hockey guy and just seeing, you know, how this team is going to evolve and what they're going to, you know, what the plans are and in moving forward. So I just wanted to make sure I had that disclaimer out there. But it's exciting because it's a new team in the league, and you know, you see what Vegas was able to do in their first year, and look, we may never see that, Anthony and Jamie, ever again in any sport where you get an expansion team goes to the championship, goes to the World Series, goes to the Super Bowl, goes to the NBA Final, goes to the Stanley Cup Final. And think about it, Vegas won the first game of that series and it eventually lost four straight. But so there's a little bit of pressure on in Seattle, and you know, they're going to have their pick at a bunch of players, and I'm sure that they've had a few calls and, you know, teams saying, hey, you know, will you pick up this guy and then, you know, flip them to us for this or whatever. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes that will be very exciting to learn about once this is over. So Jamie, very excited about what's going to take place here. And I guess it's probably right about 26 or 27 hours. We're going to have an idea who's going to be playing for the Kraken, at least to start this upcoming season.
Ed, how different do you think things are going to be for Seattle? You just brought up Vegas and the success that they have for Vegas, yeah. But that felt very different from being able to construct that roster. Do you think it's going to be a much tougher road for Seattle to match that success that Vegas had?
Well, like I said, personally, I hope like hell that they can get to the Stanley Cup final, you know, just because of the blood in the game, but. You know, it's going to be a challenge, you know, it really is. But I think, and Jamie, I'm sure that, you know, it's been talked a lot about in St. Louis and just, you know, with the expansion draft is that, you know, the first time around, I don't think there were a handful of general managers that did not handle the expansion draft very well, because you had some situations where you had some managers that were willing to give up two and three pieces not to take a certain player that was available. And I look at Minnesota, for example, where, you know, they in Vegas ended up getting Alex Tuck and Eric Halla, were two really important pieces. Halla's not there anymore, and Tuck is one of their, you know, top, you know, seven or eight forwards on their team. And then Florida was another one where they ended up picking up Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith. So I think this time around, Anthony, to the heart of your question, I think you'd like to think anyways, I mean, you know, sometimes you have managers that think they're the smartest guy in the room and you know, and end up getting, you know, getting the short end of the stick. But it'll be really interesting and how it kind of all plays out. But, yeah, there is pressure there in Seattle. But, you know, look, if they can make a run at the playoffs and win a round or two, I mean, I think it would be a hell of a season. But, you know, it's just human nature to sit there and compare them to what Vegas did in their first year. And I think that they've tried to temper the expectation levels there of what Vegas did, because I don't want to, you know, I know it's Vegas and I'm not trying to make a pun here, but I don't want to say it's one in a million, but it's pretty damn close to think what they did that first year.
All right, Eddie, I want to drag it a little more local here, and I just want to kind of isolate something you just said there. The GMs that didn't handle it properly, the last go around with Vegas. And Doug Armstrong's on record, and he is a man of his word. He's always said that I don't expose a player that I'm not willing to lose. I don't really feel like cutting side deals and this, that, and the other. Right. Well, this time around, he's got a couple of big pieces in the pond right now that are available, the biggest one being Vladimir Tarasenko. What, just from an outsider looking in on this situation, what are your initial thoughts on the Tarasenko trade request and now him being available to the Seattle Kraken?
Well, there's a lot there, Jamie. Look, at if a player, and you played for a long time, if the player doesn't want to be there, you do whatever you can to get them the hell out of there and get the best return on your value. End of story. You don't want that lingering. It's not fair to Chief. It's not fair to anybody else a part of the team. If the guy does not, you know, truly want to be there, you do whatever you can to get him out of there. Now, you got to do what's right by the organization. You can't worry about anything other than that. And maybe it takes a while. You know, maybe it takes a couple of months, or, you know, it takes a year to be able to do it. And look at the contract and the term and everything plays into those decisions. But, you know, it's not a healthy situation if that indeed is what's going on and the player doesn't want to be there anymore. And, okay, well, then I'm going to try to make the best deal that I can. And, you know, I'm sure a guy like Army, who's been around the block 1,000 times and one of the most respected guys, one of the guys that I've respect so much in the game, just a real friendly fellow and always has time to say hello and just super smart in the game and has had so much success at every level, is, you know, like, look at, I would imagine that, you know, if Tarasenko's had the opportunity to communicate with some teams and figure out, you know, how can I, you know, go from St. Louis to wherever. But again, you maybe the Blues are in a situation, Jamie, and you know that situation better than I. You know, you might have to take bad. You might have to take back a bad contract with maybe shorter term, and maybe obviously not as much money, but because it's hard to make a player for player and a dollar for dollar type when you're talking about the length of the contract and in the salary cap hit. So there's just so many things the manager has to navigate through. But for me, if a guy doesn't want to be there, then you got to get him out of there. And if not, maybe the guy just sits there and practices, you know, because look at it. If you know the guy doesn't want to be there, then, you know, you got to make that decision on whether or not he can help you win. And he really wants to be there. Maybe he's just a practice player until you can finally get him out of there and give him what he wants. But again, you gotta make the best move for you and your franchise. And I'm sure that Army will certainly get to that point, whether it's, you know, whether Seattle takes him or not, you know, then that obviously would be easy, but I think, there's going to be, you know, an opportunity here at some point, regardless of what the return will be.
We're talking again here with Ed Olczyk, lead hockey analyst for Turner Sports, former Stanley Cup champion, former player, former coach. So, Eddie, your years in the game, I'm going to ask you a question. It's strictly your opinion, because I have my opinion about this. And a lot of people are asking it around town here, that if Doug Armstrong could make a trade but have to retain some salary, what scenario is better for you? Doug making a trade, retaining a little salary, having to eat a little bit of the pie back here in St. Louis, or is it better to have Seattle pick up Vladimir Tarasenko? You get nothing in return, but you get that $7.5 million cap space.
Well, knowing the way that Army, I should say, having a feel for the way that Army likes to navigate and maneuver and stick handle his way through the league, I don't think there's any doubt is that, you know, the second would be the one, is that Seattle takes him and he's able to go take that money and go sign, you know, Gabriel Landeskog or, you know, whomever he wants to go out and bring to St. Louis. If Seattle doesn't pick him up, retaining some of the salary might be the one way that, you know, that you do.
It might be the only way, right, Eddie?
Well, no, yeah, it right. But again, there may be, again, without looking at everybody that's available or having an idea, that, you know, maybe there's a guy out there. How many years does he have left on his deal? Is he 7 or 6 or what does he have left on his deal term-wise?
For Vladdy?
Yeah.
He's got 2 more years at 7.5. Yeah,
okay,
it's a short run.
Okay, he's got 2. Okay, so So maybe you got to, you know, maybe you have to, you know, take a guy that's got, you know, a year or two left and maybe eat a little bit of money and you get a player in there that wants to be there, or maybe he can help you in a different way, and then you move him out. So, you know, look, it does come down to money, and especially the world we're living in and navigating through and the pandemic and a flat salary cap. For me, you know, that might end up being, you know, being the case, but, you know, it comes down to, you know, whether or not right now. I mean, nothing can happen until, you know, Seattle takes them. And look, you know, I mean, could there be an opportunity where Seattle takes them and they flip them? You know, maybe there's somebody out there that wants a guy like Vladdy, and maybe Seattle takes on a guy that's, you know, maybe got, you know, 3 years at, you know, at $4.5 or $5 million that they think is better suited for them moving forward. And maybe there's a team out there that wants to shed some salary as well. So it's a game that these GMs are going to have to play here. But right now, Ron Francis and the Seattle Kraken are holding all the cards, and certainly a direct result locally there in St. Louis with what happens, you know, moving forward with Tarasenko.
Ed, you mentioned a name about a minute ago that perked the ears up of Jamie and I, and I'm sure a lot
you
of our listeners
opened
up
Pandora's
as well.
Box, Eddie.
And that's Gabriel Landeskog. So when you look at, and you've got the national perspective on this, we can't see the forest through the trees once we, you know, once we start talking about Landeskog.
Or we don't want to.
Yeah, we don't want to, exactly. From a national perspective, What are the odds right now? I know you're into horse racing, so what are the odds?
I'm watching the seventh race from Indiana Grand right now, and I need the pole to see it's 2-5. So I'll just leave it at that.
Attaboy. Hopefully you get that. What are the odds that Landeskog stays in Colorado?
Yeah, boy, if I'm setting a line, I'm going to probably say it's...
And Eddie, let me preface this a little bit. Anthony is our resident gambling expert, okay? He doesn't just throw around. He doesn't let anybody make odds, okay?
Yeah, all right. I'm gonna say Jamie and Anthony, I'm going to say, and the four is going to win off here by about 8 or 9 lines.
Attaboy. Nice.
I turn a $50 investment into $70, so now I can buy my granddaughter a new pair of shoes.
There you go.
I like
good.
It. Yep.
I would probably say I'm going to make the line probably +195 that he would stay there. So I would say there's a better chance that he leaves than he stays.
I was about to say,
in Colorado. Yeah, yeah. So it's an interesting dynamic when you look at a guy like Landeskog, because he can do a little bit of everything, right? He's obviously a leader. He can score. You can play him at center. You can play him on the wall. You know, you can play him in, you know, you can play him with anybody. And, you know, he's that type of an impact player. And, you know, for Colorado, I mean, it's kind of very similar when Petro was there and going through his ordeal. Like, they got Cale Makar coming up now, and the people that may not know, I mean, Cale Makar is, you know, Jamie, I don't know. I mean, I would assume that you think he's a pretty salty player, but, I mean, this is a guy that's probably going to win.
I think he's top three in the NHL.
At some point. Yeah, right. I mean, he's pretty special. And he's sitting in the driver's seat where he says, well, you know, that guy in San Jose, that Erik Karlsson, he's the highest paid defenseman. Well, not for long. I want north of $10.5 or $11 million. So, And they might have the bargain of the NHL is where Nate MacKinnon right now is I think he's got 3 or 4 years left at 5.5 or 5.8, and wait till his contract's up in a couple of years, and hopefully by then we'll be out of this pandemic and the salary cap will grow and you know, and you're gonna have to pay that guy because he's gonna be the highest paid guy on your team. So I think a lot of that has to do Jamie and Anthony in Colorado. Look, I think that they would love to keep him. From people I've chatted with and talked to, it's a no-brainer. He's their captain. But I think you got to do the dollars and cents, right? And, you know, it's kind of very similar to what the Blues fans saw with Petro. And it's just like at some point here, you got to make a decision and say, look, we're going to go in a different direction. Now, obviously, it didn't work out for the Blues at the way that they wanted. But, you know, you got to put your money where your mouth is. So I would find it hard because of that contract specifically. And, oh, by the way, I didn't even mention this. The most important part of this, Jamie and Anthony, is that they need a goalie. Like they don't have a goalie yet. I mean, Grubauer, his contract's up. So they're going to be in the market for a goaltender. Now, I mean, I'm hearing Robin Leonard's name floated around possibly on the move from Vegas, which I think is interesting with Marc-Andre Fleury having 1 year left on his deal, but they have massive cap issues as well. I've heard New Jersey's very interested in a guy like Robin Leonard. So those two things in Colorado, getting back to Landeskog, that's why I think it's going to be pretty hard to keep him, because he's going to be a guy that's probably going to be probably comparable would be Anders Lee. And Anders Lee was an unrestricted free agent before last season, and I think he got 7x7, if I'm not mistaken. So Landeskog's probably going to go, well, that's the starting point, and I just can't see Landeskog staying, Grubauer staying, and more importantly, Makar. You know, I mean, Makar's not going anywhere, but you know where I'm going with the money, because you could be sitting there talking 18 schmil between those two guys and Landeskog and Makar, and then you still got to go sign a goaltender if you have aspirations of winning a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I agree, Eddie. And Anders Lee is $7 million a year, and that's kind of what I was going to say too, or ask you just your personal opinion, not running any team. Just, do you think 7x7, 7 years, $7 million a year gets a guy like Nathan or gets a guy like Gabriel Landeskog?
Yeah, I do. I do.
All right. I'm going to call Army right now and get it done.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hey, Jamie, just for the record, Army doesn't need our help. I'll just guarantee you that.
Now, Eddie, I like to believe he listens to the show and that he takes my advice.
Yeah. If I could, I would say this. In the Blues organization was so friendly to me when I was going through my stage 3 colon cancer battle a couple of years ago. Army reached out often. Mikey Caruso, you know, reached out often. Panger, you know, Razor, Ray Barilli, you know, John Kelly. I just want to make that known. And the Blues, always arch rival of the Blues, whether I played in Toronto or in Chicago, always an arch rival. And I think the only time I've ever been cheered in St. Louis is when they showed me on the Jumbotron when I came back and did my first game after while I was going through my treatments. And I'll be forever grateful and thank you for the St. Louis fans and the Blues fans there for acknowledging me. But Army checked on me often. That's the type of guy that he is. So I just wanted to make sure that all the great Blues fans realize that they got a pretty special guy there in charge of the St. Louis Blues.
Well, we appreciate that. And that's because we respect you, Eddie. That's the city of St. Louis. They all about respect. Everybody respects what you did. And I hope you're doing awesome. I love watching you on the tube talking about NHL hockey. And I really appreciate you taking the time today to shoot the breeze with us as we go through these expansion Olympics and then into free agency. So good luck with the horse races too, buddy.
Thanks for having me. And I will be tuned in tonight to my favorite baseball team against our arch rival. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, you're not naming which one though, already. Hey, you sly dog, you.
No. When it comes to the baseball part, Jamie, I gotta draw a line in the sand somewhere. So we'll be watching tonight, and hopefully the Cubs will have a little bit better success than they did last night against the Redbirds. So I appreciate you guys having me on. Have a great summer. And hey, puck drop's not that far away when you think about it. I mean, I just started my vacation here about 10 days ago, and I'm like, the schedule's going to come out, I think, on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. And how great would it be if Seattle and Vegas opened up in Vegas on opening night? How great would that be?
That'd be
would
fantastic.
That be pretty cool or what? What do you
Absolutely.
Think?
Absolutely. Unbelievable.
Right, I'm going to put those odds at -380. How's that? Is that
there you go.
Anthony, is that okay? Or
I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot. Well done, Ed.
I love it.
Well, you guys have a great night.
We'll be tuning in watching you too, Eddie. Thanks a lot for your time,
right,
bud.
Thanks.